www.ccc.org. From the WGXE newsroom, this is the WGXE Hands-On Radio Weather Update. The National Weather Service in Albany has issued a hazardous weather outlook for the WGXE listening area for today into tonight and tomorrow. Heavy rainfall is expected late tonight into Saturday, which may lead to urban flooding of low-lying and poor drainage areas with isolated flash flooding possible. Flash flood watch may need to be issued. You can expect showers and thunderstorms for the remainder of the day. It will be partly sunny with a temperature high near 81 degrees. A Friday night, mostly cloudy with a low around 62. Your weekend forecast on Saturday, showers and possibly a thunderstorm, and some of those storms could produce heavy rain. The temperature high on Saturday will be 70 degrees. Saturday night, a chance of showers, mostly cloudy with a low around 62. And on Sunday, a chance of showers and thunderstorms all day. And it will be mostly cloudy on Sunday with a temperature high near 75 degrees. And there's a chance of more showers on Sunday night. It will be mostly cloudy with a low around 64. The sun rose this morning at 5:56 a.m. and the sun will set at 8:03 p.m. That will give us 14 hours and 7 minutes of daylight, 2 minutes and 26 seconds less than yesterday. So there you have your WGXE Hands-On Radio weather update. For local news, public meetings, and other community information, use the WGXE website, wgxc.org.
WGXC Accra.
Wave Farm Radio and WGXC 90.7 FM Hands-On Community Radio present Sonic Anthropology with Comrade Squelch. 8 nights of recombinant waves, binaural motion, revenant memories, interspecies communication, and post reimagined sound maps, phonographic ephemera, ethnographic archives, media archaeology, generative texts, resultant melodies, human voices, episode 4, Little Operas, musical stories from fragmented histories.
Thank you.
of your poetical article, Yon will not be displeased, if in order to the improvement of it I communicate to you. If such a correspondence will be agreeable to you, be pleased to inform me in two posts, what the conditions are on which you shall expect it. In a man whom religious education has secured iron licentious indulgences, the passion of love, when once it has seized him, is exceedingly strong, being unimpaired by dissipation, and totally concentrated in one object. This was experienced by Johnson, when he became the fervent admirer of Mrs. Porter, after her first husband's death. Miss Porter told me, that when he was first introduced to her mother, Iris' appearance was very forbidding. He was then lean and lank, so that his immense structure of bones was hideously striking to the eye, and leaf scars of the scrofula were deeply visible. He also wore his hair, which was straight and stiffy, and separated behind, and he often had, seemingly, convulsive starts and odd gesticulations, which tended to excite that once surprise and ridicule. Mrs. Porter was so much engaged by his conversation that she overlooked all these external disadvantages, and said to her daughter, "This is the most sensible man that I ever saw in my life."
Then shall hoop and I carve their objects fine, shall dull suspense corrupt the stagnant mind, must help this man, in ignorance sedate, roll darkling down the torrent of his fate. I shall no dislike alarm, no wishes rise, no cries attempt tile, mercy of the skies inquirer, sees petitions yet remain, which I turn may hear, nor deem religion vain, still raise for good the supplicating voice, but leave to heaven clearly measure and rejoice, saith in his hand, whose eye discerns here the secret ambush of a specious prey, implore his aid, his decisions rest, secure, whate'er he gives the best. Yet when the sense of sacred presence fires and strong devotion to the skies aspires, pour forth thy fervors for illealth for myriad obedient passions, and a will resigned for love, which scarce collective man can know, for patience, sovereign or a transmuted ill, for faith, which panting through happier seat, counts death kind nature's signal for retreat. These goods for man the laws of heaven ordain, these goods he grants, who grants clear power to gain, with these celestial wisdom calms the mind, and makes the happiness she does not line.
Sleet Lowell, peevishly complaining of the bad taste all the town, submitted to its decision will MNNNR, he lured. Indeed, upon all occasions a great dot and slur the general opinion. A man, said he, who writes a book, Gleimes a wiser or wittier than the rest of mankind. He supposes that he can instruct or amuse them, and the public to whom he appeals must, after all, be the judges of his pretensions.
Short, O'Shawn then beat by rain, and Jesus give us lo the world again. I did not nigh along, but walked down to the Thames, took a boat, and rode to Billingsgate. Being wrong, Johnson was truly zealous toy the success of the adventure, and very soon after his engaging in it, he wrote the following letter to the Lieverk and D.L.L. Joseph Wacton. Dear sir, one ought to have written to you below now, but one ought to do many things which one do not, nor can one, indeed, claim any merit.
I am, dearest sir, your humble servant, London, the 4th of February, 1755, Sam, Johnson, to THF, same. Dear sir, I received your letter this day, with your most obliged and affectionate lionet, Sam, Johnson.
Dear sir, it is strange how many things will happen to intercept every pleasure, though
another
it custom, be only that
of
2 hours meeting together. I have promised myself every day to inform you when you might expect me at Oxford, and have not been able to fix a time. The time, however, is, one thing, at once come, and one promised myself to repose in Ketglight Hall, one on the first nights of the next week. One am afraid my stay with you cannot be long, but what is the inference? We must endeavour to make it cheerful. I wish your brother could meet us, but we might go and drink tea with Mr. Wise in a body. One hope he will be at Oxford, or at his nest of British and Saxon antiquities. I shall expect to see Spensy finished, and many other things begun. Dodsley is gone to visit the Dutch. The dictionary sells well. The rest of the world goes on as it did. Dear sir, your most affectionate, and C. Sam, Johnson, London, the 10th of June, 1755, to the same.
English tongue, prefixed to the dictionary, age dot seldom, perhaps never, begins any but the first SYLLA.BLE. James Boswell, Life of Samuel Johnson,
An anti-soap opera.
We take you now to the small town of New Thebes, New Jersey, where a stranger has just arrived for the night.
Time is dark. Stonehenge of Dickon. Suddenly the scene expands, revealing a
We search this facade, gravitating to its blackened windows. We peer into its abyss, and we find her. Mrs. Edwards.
When you walked into the room with your new found friend, you were 3 in the afternoon with our cocktails brimming, and we sighed beneath the moon with your diamonds melting. My baton began to swoon like a new second helping. When you walked into the room, well, you won't see me. Look into the stars, I see the sun. Starting from zero, all the way to one. I feel like a rainbow, I am the sun. Retreating from zero, into the sun. Come on, soak that hip. Turn on your soap opera dream. Come on and love that tip. Burn on the light your dream. To live, to scheme,
to die alone.
To give, to breathe, is close. Thank you.
ourselves in India, where Arnold Vishnu, young mendicant, covered in vagrant curry stains, enters a bowling alley filled with sadhus and monks. They are all singing and drinking billy beer.
Thank you.
to the far north
with doomed amateur explorer Leonidas Hubbard and his wife Minna, followed in 1909 by Udak, Ukwea, Egingwa, Matthew Henson, and Lieutenant Robert Peary in pursuit of the grand prize of history, to be the first to reach Ultima Thule, the North Pole.
Thank you.
down here, down here.
skill.
Yeah.